Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Musar's 5-Minute Musar Podcast. I'm Rabbi Chassi Uriel Steinbauer, delighted to be with you in Musar practice and learning. Baruchim Habaim, Anachnu B'Kibbutz Chanaton Ba'aretz. Welcome everyone. What are we going to do for our 5 minutes today? We're going to continue with our exploration, learning and practice about chanting in the Musar practice. So what is the idea of chanting and where does it come from? Basically, it is something that long time ago our Musar ancestors, our rabbinic and non-rabbinic ancestors who practiced Musar, saw the importance of entering, sending messages deep within the recesses of our soul, sending messages to the subconscious. And before they were aware there was something called a subconscious, they were aware that we could send messages down to affect ourselves for change. So the words basically need to be something that the practitioner needs to hear, something that will go beyond the head. And it is can be done in simple chanting and melody and singing. It can be done quietly, meaning the lips move but you don't hear something. It can also be done through contemplation, completely in silence, where one envisions the words before one's mind's eye. It can also be something that someone looks at a card and reads over and over. But the chanting practice itself really stems from something that Rav Salanter, the founder of the modern Musar movement in the 19th century in Lithuania, he really felt that took the from the classic method for learning Torah, in particular Talmud, Gemara, and used it to reshape behavior. And it had to be chanting in such a way that they called lips aflame. Now, anyone who's familiar with any of the Eastern traditions of chanting know that they have a similar concept of lips aflame. And so this is something that was happening throughout the world. People realizing that they need to bring certain words that moved beyond reading or simply speaking. So we continue. Anachnu Mamshichim. So Musar chanting really is to sing a lesson into our souls. It also changes the brain wiring and eventually our hearts and our behavior. So the practice consists of repeating a phrase of Musar, wisdom, aloud usually, with intensity to engrave it in the heart. Why? So that it's actually available when needed. We do practice, we do a spiritual discipline, so that when we need it, it is there and it's available. So what words do we chant? What words do you need to hear? Usually we're practicing around a certain midah, a soul trait, a personality trait. And the phrase that we might chant serves as a reminder, an encouragement, a rebuke, as a warning, a preparation, anything that you need to hear in particular. Now I can see some of you may say, I don't know what I need. I'm either so new to Musar, or I'm so new, you're going to hear a dog barking, say shalom, or you're so new to self-awareness as a practice and as a, you know, lifelong life path, that you might say to yourself, I don't know what I need. So this is where you might take the advice and should of your teacher, perhaps others in a Musar group called Vaad, a Havruta, a learning partner. These are all resources and why we actually practice Musar in community, and especially with a teacher. So most of the words come from the Torah, from other Musar classics, and sometimes people even invent their own. So sometimes people also use music. you know, the founder of the Musar Institute, Alan Morenes, he notes in his book Everyday Holiness that music can, quote, penetrate to the core of being where consciousness cannot reach, end quote. We all know this. This is why we love music. That's why we listen to it. It's why we cry when we're in the middle of a symphony, maybe even in an opera, where very few people understand Italian. It still penetrates, okay? So, some people use melody to increase the intensity and also activate memory. So it fits into Musar practice among all the other modalities and techniques that we use, from our morning affirmation that we can do with chanting, to Kabbalot that we might practice during the day, to our Cheshbon HaNefesh, accounting of the soul journal at night, to our meditation practice, visualization practice, and other practices that come under the umbrella of Musar. Chanting is so important that Rabbi Dov Katz, who is a historian of the modern Musar movement, noted of all the methods introduced by the Musar Institute, quote, the most radical and effective was found to be the repetitive moral recitation, end quote, by which he meant chanting. So, does chanting work? Yes! Well, I wouldn't be here telling you now in my, let's see here, how many years have I been practicing Musar? I'm coming, this is my 21st year. Yes, it works, but don't take only my word. Please practice. Please try it. Please commit to at least 3 to 6 months of consistent practice, and you will see. So, contemporary neuroscience also provides a theory to why chanting in the Musar tradition, and chanting actually in any tradition, why it's so effective. It's experiential, it's multi-modality learning. The neurons all fire together in our brains. So repetition of words and ideas make them readily available. The physical involvement often also, if someone is actually marching or moving or dancing or swaying, that also strengthens learning than just silent reading alone. So the emotional effect pulls even more so. So it can be chanted in any language also. More so, there are some people that actually think that you should chant in whatever language you dream, and whatever language is your mother tongue, which speaks to you. But there are people who also are so drawn to chanting in the Hebrew if it's not their mother tongue. Why? Because that is the tongue of our people and has been for thousands and thousands of years. And there's something about it that's primal, something that really hits people and makes them feel that they are locked into something holy, part of Kedusha, of holiness. So they may want a verse in Hebrew, even though it's not the language that they dream in, it's not the language that they speak daily. So that's basically what you can do. So I will tell you this in our closing for today. We've gone way over 5 minutes. We're going to call it 10-minute Musar. We'll actually practice together over the next coming days. That it is one of the more difficult practices for people besides journaling at night. Why? I find that most people find it difficult because of low self-esteem, low self-worth, which we translate into Musar language, Mida language, as too much anava, too much humility. So the person feels embarrassed or shamed or whatever, or, you know, not proficient, whatever it might be, whatever voice is telling them, speaking to them in the head, and they don't do it. They feel embarrassed. They don't jump into the practice. So this is a practice to better yourself. This is a practice to transform. And with it comes a little bit of chutzpah, a little bit of courage, ma'amatz. So please reach out to your inner core and say, I can do this. I can sit alone and I can chant. Thank you for joining us today.